The name of the message today, by the way, is foster care. Has absolutely nothing to do with a foster care program in the United States or throughout the world. So, but anyway, Steve's been preaching about what do you think about the Christ? Romans 1:16 says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." We need to be heirs with Christ. We need to be part of Jesus Christ. Steve talked about the right understanding. If there is any hope of salvation, the gospel must be understood. That's how we're saved. We're saved by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 1:16. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." We need to understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ before we can be saved. It requires the right people. Who are the right people to hear the gospel? Everyone. When the Lord Jesus Christ preached, He didn't just say, "Okay, send the kids off to children's church. I need to speak with the adults now. I'm dealing with an adult topic." When Paul preached, he preached to everyone, whoever was there. The gospel is for everyone. We need to make sure that everyone hears. The right reason. And this is where I think there's so many failures in our church today. There are so many pastors that are up there preaching and they're looking for the glory. They won't stop the invitation until someone finally comes forward. It's not up to them. It's up to God. It's not our job to do the convicting. It's God's job. It's not our job to do the convincing. That's God's job. It's our job to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. As pastors, that's the job. It's not for us. It's for Him. Getting people to walk down the aisle, that's not God's glory. That's man's glory. Also, the right response. Genuine saving faith must grow. It is alive. When I talked to Steve about his series of messages, and he asked me, could I go ahead and speak this week because he was going to be at the Shepherd's Conference, there was no immediate intention that this would be a natural flow into my being here or that I would be, you know, continuing on with his messages. But in fact, that's where this has ended up. This is going to be a continuation sermon. We're going to go into the right name. We're going to talk about the right name because I think it's very important. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. My mother was raised in foster care. So were 10 or 9 of her brothers and sisters. Only one of the 11 children that my grandmother had was actually raised by her. The rest were put into the foster care program. And in foster care, you don't receive the name. You're just a foster child. You're cared for, you're taken care of. And by the way, the foster care program of today is much better than what it used to be. They used to be indentured servants. They were actually, you could get a foster child just so that they could work in your house. That was the foster care policy because they just needed homes for these children. But we don't need foster care in the church. Let's read Romans 8, and I'm going to be reading verses 12 through 17. I am reading out of the King James, by the way. I know Steve and Mike vary week to week, but mine is King James. I read, teach, and preach King James, so I figured why change this week, okay? Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For if ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You. Lord, help me now. Help me to continue to share Your Word. I pray it in Your precious Son's name. Amen. I just have a real problem with the way things are done in our churches today. With this sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and getting them to come forward and basically almost forcing them to pray the sinner's prayer so that they can get another notch in the baptistry. That's not what we need in our churches. We need true children of God in our churches. We need people who are truly saved in our churches. When I chose to call this message foster care, it's because it describes the situation in our churches today. It describes what we're going through in our churches today. This was actually written. I went onto the website and brought up the foster care information. It's amazing what you can find on the web nowadays. But I actually found this. It was written by a girl in foster care. A lot of people get foster care and adoption mixed up, but they're really very different. When you're in foster care, you really belong to the city, or a foster parent, or a group home staff are paid to take care of you. When you're adopted, you become part of the family. If the family buys you new clothes, they take the money out of their own pocket. But the main difference between adoption and foster care is that adoption is permanent and foster care isn't. If you're adopted, you're in that home for good. It's supposed to be similar to living with a biological family. You're part of the family. When you're adopted, you become part of the family. No one pays that family. We don't deserve it. We can't buy it. There's nothing we can do to work our way there. The price was paid by Jesus Christ. He paid rather than us pay. The main difference between adoption and foster care is that adoption is permanent. Steve has said over the past several weeks that Baptist term, once saved, always saved. Although I agree with it fully, I agree with Steve. It is one of the scariest terms we have in Christianity today. Because there are people who think that just because they prayed a sinner's prayer that they're saved. There are people who think that just because they raised their hand at some big meeting, they're saved. There are people who think because they got dunked in a pool at the front of a church, that they're saved. You're not saved unless you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to continue this message next week, actually. This is a 2-week series, so we're going to talk more about the evangelistic side of this later. But I got to tell you, you can't take the evangelism out of an evangelist. You're going to hear God's word. You're going to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ today, because I think it's important that I share that with you. But you've got to understand that unless you believe that you're a sinner and that you don't deserve heaven, and that the only way you're going to get there is through the blood of Jesus Christ. That He died for you so that you wouldn't have to die. That He was buried and rose again the third day so that you could one day be in heaven with Him. Then you ain't got it. You're a foster child. You're not an adopted child of God. But once you're adopted, you're part of the family. You are part of the family of God. And what a wonderful place that can be, you know, to be part of the family of God. To be able to cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, my Father God, thank you. Two things I really look forward to one day when I get to heaven. One, I always picture God as having a deeper voice than mine. When I say that to kids, they always think, whoa. But really, I picture God as having a, and maybe not deeper, but more resonant voice than mine, you know? I mean, just this powerful voice. And you know, I don't know if you've ever done it, but if you ever felt the chest of somebody with a really resonant voice, it vibrates when they talk. My kids used to love to hold my tie when I would sing, because my tie vibrates. Anyway, one day when I get to heaven, I want to be held by God and have Him hold me with my head to His chest. And not just hear Him say the words, but feel Him say the words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Man, that to me, that's exciting to think that one day I'm going to be in heaven with God and be in His arms. Because I know that I'm a child of God. The other, some people think this is crazy. I can't wait to hear God laugh. Can you imagine what heaven's going to sound like when God laughs? Can you imagine anybody not laughing when they hear God laugh? I mean, they won't have to have heard the joke. They're just going to have to hear Him laugh. You know how you hear somebody laugh and you just got to laugh right along? I just think God's laugh is just going to be eruptive. There's things I look forward to when I get to heaven. Now, the difference, we're talking about foster care. Many people think that children in foster care want to be adopted. You know what? Many of them do, but there's a good portion of them that don't. They don't want to be adopted. They're happy living just the way they are. They have protection. They have food. They have clothing. They have shelter. They have a comfortable way of life. There's people taking care of them. With the church, it's a little different. I think the biggest difference is that every child in foster care knows that they're in foster care. But not every person who's under foster care of the church knows that they're in foster care. There are many who have been deceived. When my wife and I were living in South Carolina, one of the Sunday school teachers, she'd been a Sunday school teacher for 20 years. She'd worked in the VBS. She'd been the church secretary. She had done all sorts of things in the church. Shortly after she started working in the church, she went to the pastor and she said, "Pastor, I'm really concerned about, am I really saved?" And the pastor said, "Well, of course you're saved. Look at all the things that you do." And so that pacified her. A couple years later, she went to the pastor. She had said, "Pastor, I am really concerned about this salvation issue. I really don't know if I'm saved." "Well, of course you're saved. Look at all the things you do." While Cheryl and I were there, she went to our new pastor and said, "Pastor, I really don't know if I'm saved." And this pastor said, "Let's look at God's Word. Let's see what God's Word has to say." And that day she got saved. She accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. There are people being told that they're saved, that they're children of God, when in fact, they're just as bound for hell as the pagan who's never been to church or heard the gospel of Christ. We need to take care of that in our churches today. We need to make sure that there's no illusion in the salvation. Some of the foster children who sit in the pews faithfully come every Sunday. As I said, some were even Sunday school teachers. It's not your works that gets you saved. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We need to make sure that we are saved. We need to make sure that we're children of God, that we have the right name, and that we truly are children of God. No one but God can tell you that you're saved. You have to be absolutely sure that you are saved. According to James 2, 20 and 26, it says, faith without works is dead. Steve covered this, I believe it was last week. Faith without works is dead. But people, works without faith is dead. You've got to have both. You've got to have faith in Jesus Christ and do the works. The works prove your faith. But we have to have faith and works. We're saved by grace through faith. We prove our faith by works. How can I know that I am saved if I can't tell by my works? 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says this, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? This is a different examination than that concerning the Lord's Supper, okay? Actually, this needs to precede the one of the Lord's Supper. In the Lord's Supper, we're told, examine yourselves to make sure you're worthy to take this Lord's Supper, okay? That's examining to make sure there's no sin that's keeping you from taking the Lord's Supper. But prior to that, we need to do an examination and say, am I really saved? Now, Paul was speaking to Christians. I'm here to tell you it is not wrong for you to examine yourself. We need to examine ourselves. Am I really saved? Am I truly a child of God? Okay? So, how are you going to know? Well, Romans 8, verse 14. That was in the text that I read earlier. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you're being led by the Spirit, then you're a child of God. You know what? If you aren't led by the Spirit, you don't have the Spirit in you. But if you are being led by the Spirit, you obviously have the Spirit of God in you. Therefore, you must be saved because the Spirit of God will not reside in a non-Christian. Unless you're a son of God, you aren't going to have the Spirit of God. So, way number one, if you're led by the Spirit. Number two, Romans 8, 16. The flesh itself beareth witness with our spirit. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit's going to tell you. Okay? So you've got the leading of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. What is that telling us? The way you're going to know is through God, through the Holy Spirit of God. He's the way. He's how you will know. If you don't feel that comfort, if you don't feel that peace, if you don't feel that leading, guiding, directing of the Holy Spirit, then you have to ask yourself. This goes right back to Steve's message of why do we do what we do? The Jewish leaders of Jesus' time did many acts of righteousness, but they did them to follow the law and not to please God. They did them for their own glory and not for the glory of God. So when you do something for God, ask, why am I doing this? Is it for me? Or is it for God? Am I doing this so that I can look good? Or am I doing this for glory, for God? If it's for self, you're in the wrong area. What you're doing for God, okay? Faith without works is... What are you doing for God? Faith without works is dead, okay? We need to all be working for God. One of the biggest problems we have in our churches today is when a person does get saved, what do we teach them to do? We teach them to sit and listen. I've looked through God's Word and it never says sit and listen. It says go ye therefore. We need to teach our children. We need to teach God's children how to go, therefore. That's one of the reasons I love the Awana ministry. That's one of the greatest things that I see in the Awana ministry. When I was 12 years old, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. When I got done receiving Him as my Savior, when I prayed the sinner's prayer, whatever, a gentleman came up to me, shook my hand, pulled me up and said, congratulations, son, you're saved and going to heaven. I said, what do I do now? He said, don't worry about it, son, you're going to heaven. In other words, I had a fire insurance policy. What good was it? I was saved. I needed to learn how to grow in Christ. I needed to learn how to serve God. I knew there was something that I needed to be doing. Otherwise, why would I have said, what do I do now? What is that called? It's called the leading of the Holy Spirit. And yet there are people in the churches today who are quenching that leading. They're saying, don't worry about it, son. You're saved and going to heaven. Sit and listen. Then we get them into the youth group, and what are they taught to do? Sit and listen. Sing a few fancier songs and eat a lot of pizza. And then they leave the church. I don't know how many of you did. Left the church for a period of time. But they do. Many. And then you know what brings them back? They bring a child. They've got a child in their arms. They know they're supposed to bring the child up in the church. So they bring the child into the church. But what do they know how to do? Sit and listen. That's all we taught them. What are you doing for God? Faith without works is dead. And next question is, why are you doing the works? Because works without faith is dead also. The best way to prove your piety, I got this off the web, I just thought it was so cool. The best way to prove our piety is to subject it to actual trial in the various duties and responsibilities of life. A man who wishes to prove an act to see whether it is good or not does not sit down and look at it or read all the treatises which he can find on axe making or on the properties of iron and steel, valuable as such information would be. But he shoulders his axe and goes into the woods and puts it to the trial there. So if a man wishes to know what his religion is worth, let him try it in the places where religion is of any value. Let him go into the world with it. It is like the good axe with which a man can chop all day long, in which there is no flaw, and which does not get dull, and which answers all the purposes of an axe. Any other religion is worthless. If you can't take your faith and go out into the world and use it, of what value is it? We have many people who sit in the seats, pews, chairs, whatever, and soak up a lot of good information, but they never take it out into the world. Of what value is that? We need to examine ourselves, whether we be of the faith. We need to be led by the Spirit, and we need to let the Spirit bear witness with our spirit. Then we can know. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's what we need. We need to be able to say, yes, I know that I'm a child of God. I know I have the right name. And if you have the right name, you become an heir. You become an heir of God. Now, I looked this up in several commentaries, and it was amazing the deviations in this text to tell exactly what it meant. But not only children, but heirs. What do we receive as an heir of God? In Galatians 4, chapter 6, in other words, basically what I'm saying is, I should have left those commentaries alone and gone to God's Word to begin with. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. 2 Timothy 2:11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. So what do we receive as heirs? We receive the Spirit in our hearts. Once we become a child of God, we receive the Spirit of God. That's one of the things we receive. Number two thing we receive the glory which shall be revealed in us. The glory of God. And we shall live with Him and reign with Him. That's what we receive when we become children of God. We, sinners, who deserve death, will receive life and will reign with God. I just think that that's amazing. God never intended for the church to be a foster care facility. He never intended for anyone in the church to be anything but His children. And in being His children, we become joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Heirs with Christ. To live with Him. To reign with Him. To receive the Spirit of God. And the glory of God. Wow. What a wonderful thing God has done for us. If we become His children. If we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You so much. Thank You for the privilege You give me of sharing Your Word. Lord, I pray that I've been faithful in Your service. And Lord, if there is anyone here who needs to have something taken care of in their heart, if they have any problems or situations, that I ask You to work in their heart.
You do the convicting. You do the convincing, coercing, whatever, so that it can be for your honor and glory. Help them to understand their need. Father, I pray this in your precious Son's name. Amen.